If you were in Sunday school this morning, you were in 1 John, the first chapter and part of the second, in which you had that wonderful passage, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the name John Lennox. John Lennox is an Oxford scholar, doctor of science, but he teaches mathematics, and he is a devout Christian. And he was debating Stephen Hawking, whose name should be familiar to many of you, famous cosmologist, and unfortunately, tremendously handicapped by, I believe it's Lou Gehrig's, but I'm not certain on that. Anyway, they were actually having a discussion, Hawking using that fantastic voice synthesizer piece of equipment. And in this discussion, a BBC interviewer asked Hawking what he thought of belief in God and religion. And Hawking said, and I quote, "Religion is a fairy tale for those who are afraid of the dark. Religion is a fairy tale for those who are afraid of the dark." Well, to be fair, the interviewer turned to John Lennox and asked him what he thought, and always quick, he said, "Atheism is a fairy tale for those who are afraid of the light." Now, he said it much better than I did because he's Irish. That beautiful brogue of his. But I think there's a lot of truth in that. And that's what I want to explore this morning. Part of the passage that you studied is in 1 John chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 5 through 7. "This is the message we have heard from God and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with God and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." If God is light and a person walks in darkness, how can they possibly be walking with God? That's completely impossible. Now, one of the themes that I've been examining as we've studied 1 John in the Sunday school class, the adult Sunday school class, is how closely it parallels the Gospel of John. And that's where I'm getting my text this morning. And I'm going to go to John, the first chapter, verses 1 through 5. Very familiar words for many, but I ask you to consider them. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." I want to read verse 5 to you again. "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, You have sent light into the darkness and have called us to reflect that light to the rest of the world. Help us as we walk through the Scriptures this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to be looking mainly at verse 5, and I note several important features. First of all, it tells us that the light shines in the darkness. What that implies to me is that the natural environment is darkness. The light is entering a situation, and the situation the light enters into is darkness. And one only has to read a newspaper to note the darkness in the world. John is going to later write in 1 John, you will study it, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, "We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one." The world lies in darkness. There is darkness in the world, but there is darkness in religion. What an amazing thing. that religion itself offers naught but darkness. I have been studying rather feverishly various other religions, and I note an important thing. As I studied Allah, the God of Islam, the chief attribute of Allah is will. What He wants, He does. What Allah wants to do, He does. And it doesn't matter if it's good or bad, what He wants, He does. He is not a God of righteousness or holiness, and by the way, this is according to the Quran, but a God of will. What He wants, He gets. What is the chief attribute of our God? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. His chief attribute, actually I think His chief attribute is existence, that He is, but that He is holy and righteous. But there are, even as we explore Jesus, one of the reasons that we are promoting so much the story of Jesus is there's a lot of darkness and ideas about Jesus. People don't really know who Jesus is and what He did and what He taught. One of the great things about that I experience is I have talked with atheists and people of minimal religion. They will tell me that Jesus was a great teacher. As if the great need of our world was education. If I only knew a little more, things would be so much better. If people were only more educated, they'd be more moral. I think D.L. Moody had a great statement. He was told, you know, these people in prison need an education. He said, no, what they need is a savior. He said, what you do is you take a man who steals nails out of the railroad tracks and you educate him and he'll steal the whole track. People believe in an education, not a transformation. And they short sell themselves. There is darkness in the world. But the Scripture says the light shines in darkness. And I chose this particular translation, the New American Standard. There are differences on this. By the way, you don't know the hours I spent on this one word. The darkness has not, in the New American Standard, comprehended it. In some of your other translations, you'll see what? What have you got? Overcome. The darkness has not overcome it. I've seen that in a lot of them. I spent hours looking at the word. And you know what it really means? Either one. I'm trying to understand a word that means understand. So, I tell you the truth. This is no lie. It's interesting that it's not a precise term. And so, the question can be raised, well, which does John mean in this passage? Does he mean the darkness? That the darkness, when the darkness sees the light, it doesn't get it. It doesn't know what it's talking about. When you bring the light into the darkness can't make sense out of it. Is that what John means? Or does John mean there is no way the darkness can defeat the light? Turn out all the lights and put up one light. You'll see if the darkness cannot overpower the light. Is that what he means? Let me ask you, which one of those is true? How about both of them? I think John is being intentionally ambiguous. I think he's trying to say more than one thing at one time. I think he's trying to make the point that the light has a power that the world cannot comprehend. Jesus said, and this is what's so hard for me to grasp, light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light. Why? For their deeds were evil. I mean, where does crime happen? In a well-lit room? Or in a dark alley? What's the image, you know? So the darkness cannot defeat the light. You bring light into a darkened area, it'll defeat that darkness. But the darkness will not grasp the light. It will not comprehend it. It's not going to get it. Because people cling to darkness. And I guess that's the challenge I want to put to you this morning. Is there darkness, and I can even say this to a Christian, is there darkness in your life that you're clinging to? In the book, My Heart, Christ's Home, there is a closet that this guy just won't let Jesus get into. Jesus, that closet is mine. You can't have it. Jesus says, it stinks. I don't care. This is my piece of the darkness and I'm clinging to it. What are you clinging to? That God wants you to let go of. I don't know what it is for you. I know what it is for me. And I know the struggle I have. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness doesn't get it. The darkness is clung to by many. But there's the most important aspect of this passage, and it's the verb. The light shines. The light doesn't care that it's dark. The light is not assessing the darkness. The light is defeating the darkness. The light is piercing into the darkness. And if the world doesn't get it, that would be their problem. I'm going to shine a light. One of the reasons that Susan and Glory are here is because Julie went to live someplace and she was a light in that place. She's shown a light. I want to show you a picture. I told some of the ladies I was going to do this. Does anyone recognize this? That is Neptune. That is the planet Neptune. It's interesting. This was taken by Voyager 2. How many of you enjoy space and astronomy? I love it. People say there's nothing but space in my head. If they discovered a storm, this is like the big red spot on Jupiter. They discovered a storm just like the one on Jupiter. Smaller, of course, because the planet's smaller. This is a picture of Neptune, taken by Voyager 2. I want to tell you something about this picture. What light was used to take the picture? Obviously. What? The sun, right? You know how dim the sun is out here? It's extremely dim. Saw a NOVA program on this, and they said the light used to take this picture would be comparable to going into a domed stadium. Go to a football stadium with a dome, and on one end is a birthday candle. And you try to take a picture with that light. Now, if you're going to take a picture with that kind of light, what do you have to do? How do you take a picture when you have very little light? What do you know? Come on, who's the photographers here? What's that? You don't have a flash. Voyager didn't have a flash. What's that? Well, you have to do what? You have to increase the time of the exposure, right? And usually if you're here, you need a tripod, you know, so that it has a steady hand. And if you've got minimal light, you have to have the exposure on long. How many of you think your Christian life, how many of you think your Christian life is a shining beacon to the world? How many of you feel like a birthday candle in a stadium? Does it matter? What's needed is consistency. Consistent exposure. Consistency. It's you stay with it. Consistency is this important. Let me tell you how important consistency is. You've all gone to restaurants, right? At the bottom of the restaurant chain might be, for many, McDonald's. Right? Now, you think it's the bottom of the restaurant chain, how many of us go to McDonald's? Sheepishly, we raise the hand or we keep it under wraps. Did you know that out of every $6 spent in a restaurant, $1 is spent at McDonald's? Why? Because every time you go to McDonald's, you know what you're going to get. It has consistency. It has consistency. And that was something about Julie. She went to church all the time. The darkness made fun of you, didn't it? The darkness laughed at you.
Julie's going to church.
And the light didn't care. The light doesn't really ask the darkness for its opinion. The light is not there to take a survey. The light is there to do one thing, and that is shine. And that's really all you had to do. And that's really all you did. I couldn't ask Julie to explain the hypostatic union or her eschatological prelims, and if you don't understand me, good. She didn't have a 200-watt bulb, but that birthday candle had an effect. Do you think you can't? The only thing standing between me and a powerful witness is consistency. Will I be consistent? It works in Jesus as He lived a life of 33 years of consistency. What did the darkness do? It crucified Him. It said, we've got to put the light out. The light didn't give a rip. It came back in 3 days when Christ rose from the dead. And in case anyone is wondering, my belief that Jesus rose from the dead is as sure as George Washington's presidency, is as sure as Caesar's emperorship, is as sure as my own birth. It is an event of history, and it is an event that changed history, turned the books, changed everything. Because when Jesus rose from the dead, He turned to the entire world and said, you want to join me in this? Do you want to be a part of it? Do you want to have the life I have? I am offering it to the world. Will you thus receive it? Or will you cling to darkness? That's a choice every one of us makes. This morning, two people came and said, I want to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. And I want to be His follower. And I want to tell you, you follow Him now, you follow Him later. You follow the darkness now, you follow the darkness later. This is simple. Who needs a preacher? This is easy stuff. They followed the footsteps of Jesus because they believed those were the steps to follow. They wanted to end up where He ends up with the life He offers. Do you need that light and life yourself? If so, we'd like to talk to you. And we'd like to offer our help. Not from Baptist doctrine, but from the Bible itself, how you can know you have eternal life with Christ.